Today on Real Radio.
Or if somebody says, no, I think it's metaphorically speaking. Yeah, you really think so? He's going to metaphorically come back. He's going to metaphorically blow the trumpet. He's metaphorically going to shout. Yeah, in your dreams. You're only saying that because you're not ready. No, he's coming.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know, a collection of lessons on the essentials of our faith. We're in a mini-series called You Need to Know all about the future things. The study of eschatology is just that, looking into what Scripture says about what is to come. You'll see why Pastor Jack has decided to take this mini-series in a few different parts, because this topic is really quite important. It gives the true believer real hope on a whole lot of levels. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more on You Need to Know, all about the future things.
Imagine a little kid running to you, and you have a robe, and you just scoop them up in that robe and hold them tight. Jesus says, I'm going to receive you. There's going to be a generation I'm going to receive to myself. I'm going to scoop them up. I ask you to be thinking, if the Bible talks about such an event happening imminently, I'll receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. A clear announcement. Friends, listen, we may differ on the placement of the rapture, but Jesus says, I'm coming, and there's going to be an event where I actually don't physically come to earth. I'm going to come and get you and take you to the place I've been preparing for you, and you're going to be with me. He's going to do that without physically touching the earth. So you're making it up. I'm not making it up. I'm actually plagiarizing. I'm quoting from, I'm paraphrasing from the Bible. And I'll prove it to you in a moment. Are you ready? She's ready. Are the rest of you ready for this? 1 Thessalonians 4. Is what Jesus just said in John 14 biblical? Does Jesus know what he's talking about? Well, 1 Thessalonians 4:14 says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so the question is, do you? Even so, God will bring with those who sleep. The believer's life is always referred to as their body sleeping. Don't think for a moment this teaches soul sleep. No such doctrine in the Bible. It's referring to the body. The Christian's body looks like they're sleeping when we die. It never, by the way, refers to the unbeliever's body as sleeping. Isn't that interesting? Those who sleep in Jesus, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord that we, can you circle the word we? Silly Paul, what's wrong with him? He should have listened to the scoffers of his day. Paul believed that Christ could return in his day. He says, we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. Not those people who are alive and remaining. Church, did you get that? Every generation of Christians, when you read your Bible, God expects them to be watching for his return. Every one of them. And here's the encouragement. You can get all excited when you start to read books and meet people and listen to other churches or comments or made by leaders that say, Jesus isn't coming back for a long time. He may not even come back at all. Oh, again, give them a hug. Paul the Apostle said, we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and thirdly, with the trumpet of God. None of this, by the way, describes the second coming of Christ at the end of the age. This describes the rapture. And the dead, that is the dead bodies, this gets fun, in Christ will rise first. Verse 17, then we, there he is again, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. If you read Latin today, and if you have a Latin Bible, the word caught up in English and Latin is rapture. Right there. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in Jerusalem? On the Mount of Olives? Hey, listen, when Jesus Christ comes back to establish his kingdom at the end of the second coming, The Bible says his foot touches the Mount of Olives and he establishes his throne in Jerusalem. Oh, don't listen. You need to stay tuned for the next several weeks because we're going to lay out on the screens a comparison between the two events. It'll freak you out. You'll freak out. It'd be rapturous. To meet the Lord in the air, and thus, look at the end of the verse 17. It sounds like John 14. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. When we talk about Jesus coming back, maybe now, or maybe now, it should comfort us. We should say, yes! Oh boy, awesome. You know, think about it. No matter what, you say, Pastor, it kind of makes me nervous. Then listen, get right. when I got saved in the 70s, there was a bumper sticker, and it said, get right or get left. I thought that was cool. Anyway, Get ready. Here's the funny thing. With what I just said, some of you are going, I don't believe he's going to come back. I want to hug you. Or if somebody says, no, I think it's metaphorically speaking. Yeah, you really think so? He's going to metaphorically come back. He's going to metaphorically blow the trumpet. He's metaphorically going to shout. In your dreams. You're only saying that because you're not ready. No, he's coming. Remember those two heavenly witnesses said he's coming back just like he said he would. Keep your eyes open. What a great, great, encouraging thing. So that event describes the rapture. It confirms John 14, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now, move on to 2 Corinthians 5:1. 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house, what do you think Paul's talking about? Our earthly house, this tent, you could see him go like this. This earthly house, this tent, he's actually talking about the body, the believer's body. If this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God. Ooh, that sounds like Jesus talking. A house not made with hands. It's not made with human hands. Eternal in the heavens. Isn't that nice? Isn't that great? I'm appreciating that. And the Bible tells us that this tent will be destroyed, or the word is dissolved. Listen, Paul says the body is going to dissolve. Did you know if you're cremated, you just dissolve in heat? Did you know that? Did you know that over time, your body laying in the grave takes about 35 years? Does exactly what 30 minutes in the crematorium does. We would say it turns to ash or dust, right? The truth is this, no matter what, it returns back to exactly what the Bible said it would. This gets fun because we didn't know this until modern science. What is man made of? Think of that. What's man made of? We're made of 14 basic elements that make up this earth. You know what we found out in Mars? That probe that went to Mars? The same stuff that's in Mars is the same stuff that's here. She's been rearranged a little bit differently. Did you know that if you keep going out, doesn't matter what, it's the same stuff. You are a assembled, animated, water infused dirt clod. You're a ball of dirt. That's why chemistry works with us. That's why chemicals work or don't work. That's why please understand this. Feel this. The you that's really you, that's you. This is not you. This is not me. You see me, but it's not me you see. The one speaking to you, I am me. That's who I am. If you speak to me, that's who you are. These are literally tools. These are mechanical things assembled by the elements of this earth. God built us to house within us. That's why we're different than an animal. Housing within me and you is a soul, a spirit. That's the redeemable part. The moment you're born again, that's the spirit, not your body. The resurrection changes that. Paul says, we groan in this body. All the young people, I don't groan. That's awesome. I feel fantastic. The Bible's true. You may feel good today, but the Bible's true. You'll feel rotten tomorrow. You're going to get a neck ache. You're going to get diarrhea. Something's going to happen. So what's going on? Dirt. Dirt. Paul says, listen, this tent, he uses the word tent. That's a great way. Tent. Look, we used to tent camp all the time. I loved tent camping. And here's the cure for tent camping. A hotel stay, which is cool, but this will seal tent camping forever. Room service. Once you have room service, you never camp again. Why? The tent gets old. The tent starts leaking. The zipper gets hung up. The threads start to stretch. Paul says, cheer up, Christian. You're going to get out of this tent someday. 2 Corinthians 5, look at verse 2. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. Sounds like John 14 to me. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, better clothed, fantastically clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Verse 5. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, as a guarantee. That means he resides in you. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Meaning, the moment we die, we see him. So keep that in mind, church. Next verse, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. We're all still talking about the rapture. These are all verses that apply to the rapture. And this is a big one. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. I tell you a mystery. Circle the word mystery. Mysterion. It means this. An eternal truth that's not been understood until now. God's holding this eternal truth. And at a certain time, God now reveals it. And Paul says, here it is. Isn't that a neat thing? Mysterion. Isn't that a great word? God could have used a different word. He uses this word. Here's an eternal truth that now you need to become aware of, Paul says. We shall not all sleep. This is what he's saying. The great apostle is saying, not everyone's going to die. How does that sound to you? Would you like to escape death? Yeah. Sounds good to me. I think I'm okay with dying. I just don't like needles before you die. That's the part that freaks me out. Paul says, well, cheer up. There's going to be a generation. They don't have to worry about any needles. They'll be delivered from chemo. They'll be delivered from taxes. They'll be delivered from taxes. They'll be delivered from the lunacy of this world. Excuse me, is it just me? But it seems like the world's gone nuts. And the world says, you're nuts. Yeah, considering who's saying I'm nuts, I'm happy to be that kind of nut then. But we shall be changed. Transformed. A metamorphosis is going to happen. Verse 52, in a moment. Ooh, sounds like John 14 to me. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet. By the way, this is cool. The last trumpet, the second trumpet. There's the first trumpet, and there's the last trumpet. There's two trumpets concerning God's people. At the last trumpet, that's reference to the church. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we. Notice where Paul places himself. The famous we statements of Paul again. We shall be changed. You guys, I thought you'd be excited about that. I thought you'd say, oh, that's great. That's fantastic. The 2,000 years. You see, Jack, he's... Listen, he wrote that 2,000 years ago. I mean, look how much time has gone. Hello, wake up. If Paul believed Jesus would come back in his time, you've had 21 centuries. We're 21 centuries closer. Any day now. Any moment. Any twinkling of an eye. Kind of moment. We shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. There's your future. And this mortal must put on immortality. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Philippians 3:20 says there, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also market Christian. This is the Christian's life. We also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our vile body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. Rapture, all rapture verses. Not going to argue about where you place it, but the rapture has to take place before the culmination of the second coming events. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, watch this. There's five chapters to 1 Thessalonians. In every chapter, Paul inserts a verse, at least a verse, listen carefully, that announces to the Thessalonians that they are not people of wrath. They are not going to be a punching bag for God's judgment. When you read that God has spared us from wrath in the Bible, that is the vengeance of God. It has no reference to hell whatsoever. So here we go. Watch this. Number one, 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Wait for his son from heaven. Are you waiting? You better be waiting. Whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the, circle the word, wrath to come. The wrath to come is a reference to the time of Jacob's trouble, otherwise known as the seven-year tribulation period. The wrath of Almighty God on earth. The seven-year tribulation period is God's wrath on earth. Number two, 1 Thessalonians 2:19. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? No wrath, deliverance. Hey, listen. Keep it on the screen, but I want to remind you of something. Remember, I'm an umbrella. And the handle's in the middle. The events of the second coming. The imminent event of the rapture is a deliverance from the world, a deliverance from God's wrath. The second coming events after that handle of the second coming banner that culminates in Christ's physical return to earth all deals with the wrath of God. Remember, the people who dwell on the earth will be terrified at the coming of the Messiah. They're going to be all upset. They're going to try to hide themselves from the wrath of the Lamb of God. The earth will shake. And billions, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, billions of people will die. That's why it refers to it as the great and terrible day of God. Not so, the rapture, my friend, that's called the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Big difference. Big difference. And so, 1 Thessalonians 3:13. So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. God, listen, when Jesus comes back, if it's in my lifetime and that trumpet blast blows, and he's going to bring my sister. Her body, listen, her body's floating somewhere out in the Pacific someplace. Remember the dust we talked about? When he comes, that dust, wet or in the earth, that 14 elements is going to be reassembled. Here's the cool part. For us to be Christians, to believe biblical doctrine, we believe in resurrection, ladies and gentlemen. This is awesome. What does it mean? It means that the body you have right now, God is going to take, listen to this, he's the perfect design engineer. He's going to take your physical 14 elements of your body, and he's going to change the arrangement of it, and you're going to go from having a body built for this world. He's going to change it ever so gently, and he's going to prepare it for the world to come. He can do this. He gives us warnings and insights and understandings of this all the time. You guys know all about planting seeds in the garden. What you plant, it's related to what comes up, but it sure looks different, doesn't it? The caterpillar turning into a butterfly, just a rearrangement of the same chemicals. He's going to do that again. I don't need to belabor 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. We read that a moment ago. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. He's going to receive us. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 ends in verse 9 of Paul saying to them, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Deliverance. So listen, I have to end with this. There are people, I get their argument. I get where they're coming from. There are people who will say, well, you people looking for the rapture of the church, you're just a bunch of escape artists. You're a bunch of wimps. Because if you were really Christian, you'd die. You'd be willing, you'd die for your faith. Yeah, I totally get that part. And I pray, in fact, I'm completely trusting in God's grace to allow me to die for him if I'm called to die for him. And here's the deal. I never said that the rapture would deliver us from persecution. No one's ever said that. There's a generation that's going to be alive, and I pray it's this one, that will be delivered from the wrath that God is going to pour out upon planet Earth. Because he will never beat up his bride or get somehow take a swing at Satan and miss and knock his bride out. He's not going to knock the church out. He's going to deliver the church from the earth because God is going to spank the earth. Okay? So check this out. Christians are dying in China. Christians are dying in Indonesia. Christians are dying in Jakarta. They're dying in Timor. They're dying in Syria. They're dying in Iraq. North Korea. Vietnam, all over the world. You say, yeah, Jesus didn't rescue them. What makes you think he's going to rescue you? Listen, I just know this. Every generation, including those that are in Iraq today or those are in China today, every generation of Christians are commanded to be watching for his imminent return. And if we die for our faith, that's called persecution. This I know for a fact. You and I, who belong to the bride of Christ, the church, will never see the wrath of God. Persecution is not the wrath of God. Persecution is the wrath of man and of Satan. And by the way, it always backfires on Satan and on man. Whenever you persecute the church, she gets real holy, she gets real strong, and her voice gets louder every time. My desire is what the Bible tells us. Let these things comfort you. That when we get through this, man, you come out of your gate and you're just so pumped up. You're just so excited. Because you know what? Live or die, we're Christians. Amen. And we may join our brothers and sisters at the end of a sword or at the end of a gun. You know what? You can only get killed so long, and then you're dead. But when you read the Bible, then and only then do we really get to be alive.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About the Future Things. This is one in a multi-part series that focuses on what God's written word says about eschatology. You Need to Know All About the Future Things is taken from Pastor Jack's collection of studies called You Need to Know, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now and then here on Real Radio, we let you know about our Real Radio Book of the Month. Each one is carefully and prayerfully hand-selected by Pastor Jack himself. And the current book of the month, The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. The Cost of Discipleship is a classic that addresses just what the title implies, but it's also a commonly quoted book on Bonhoeffer's treatments of cheap grace versus costly grace. And if you know the story of his life, you know what it cost him. Once you read The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, you'll know why many say that every believer should have this classic in his library. You can purchase your own copy of The Cost of Discipleship at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, should you need it, it's 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.